Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Miracles. We have two of them in the room today, and they've both been on the show before. Welcome back, Sue and Kim.
Hi, Scott. Hi there. Thanks for having us.
And Paula, thanks for tuning in the background there and having a look at what we're doing on this crazy show of ours. And hopefully you'll come back and do a little talking sometime. So anyway.
We're a miracle because we made it here safely in the snowstorm, right?
Well, exactly. Right? You know, those are secondary miracles. And as a matter of fact, I put a little thing on Facebook just before. I was out in the snow there saying, the show must go on kind of thing, And
they better show up. They better show up.
Were you praying this morning?
Well, it's funny because I would rather be here than anywhere else when something like that's going on, because I know most people won't be out.
Yeah.
So I take middle of the road and gamble and off I go. And that's the extent of my gambling, by the way. So. But we're here to talk about, step two in our program, step two, which alludes to a higher power, or a sense of maybe there's something out there that we can conceive of that will do the trick. Many of us have personal relationships with God the way we understand God, and Sue is not the one with the minimized one of those, I'll tell you that.
Are you trying to say don't get churchy up in here, Scott? Okay,
I have to give Sue early warnings. But she's a great believer, folks, and what she believes in, she cannot keep inside, and I agree with that totally. So if you have to throw us off, please wait till the show's done. So when we think of a power greater than ourselves, and one of the things that came to me this morning is, what does that power look like now versus what kind of things did we think were powerful maybe earlier on in life? And I'm not sure about you folk and when you may have come to some sort of realization there was something, got involved with that something, and it moved on from there. Kim, I have less of an idea with you, so maybe I can start with you. When you look at, what it's like now, how you believe today, how you came to believe, because that's really what this step is all, is coming to believe. It's, and I'll throw some curves into that after we go, but let's talk about that a little bit. Maybe if you can think back of how you came to believe, maybe what you believed in pre that and what it's like today. Just something along those lines.
Okay.
You're on.
Okay, thanks. So initially for me, I came from a background like just completely out of the big book, but I was given other people's concept of God growing up. And it was a very angry, punishing God. And and this God, you can't see me because I'm on the radio, but this God was everything that I'm not. He was white, male, all these things, right? And this God is going to punish me for not towing the line. Yeah. And I had a very hard time with that. And when I first, I was out for a really long time, and I was completely broken inside. When I came in, I heard that I had to get a power greater than myself, otherwise I wasn't going to make it. And I just, I struggled with that. And so initially, and this is true growth, it says we have to come up with some kind of a concept, however inadequate, for us to make the approach. And so in the beginning, what I had to do was come up with something that I could trust. And so I came up with Mother Earth, the goddess kind of a thing that I felt safe with.
Yeah.
And it was enough for me, because I was in a very dark world, in a very dark room. Mm-hmm. And when I was able to sort of come up with something, I could open the door just a little bit. And the light comes into the room when you open the door just a crack, right? So the light came in the room. What I had around me was a fantastic group of people that told me to let go of stuff. And so as hard as it was for me to not jump in and try to manage something or tweak something, I stopped doing it, and results would be better than what came if I had done it. So it started to, and this is, sort of in conjunction with me opening the door to believe that there might be something a little bit greater than me. And then, we grow. in recovery. And if we, you know, our concept changes, things change. As I started to get better and better, my concept grew and grew. And I think the first 4 or 5, maybe 6 years, I spent trying to figure out what God was. And then at some point, I realized I don't need to know what God is. Yeah. I just need to know that there is something that it is.
Yeah.
And it's not about my knowledge, because if my brain can figure out what God is, then it's not God. It's not God.
Good point.
If this little human brain can figure that out, I'm done, right? So now it's about having an experience with this power.
Yeah.
And that's what my life has been like. It's an experience with this power. And I stopped searching underneath every leaf in the garden trying to find what this power was. I just accept that it is. And when I'm not connected to it, I don't do so well.
Yeah.
And when I'm connected to it, I have a life better than the best I've ever known, even in dark times.
Yeah. Beautiful.
That's it for me. Yeah.
Excellent. And I like that. You hit all the things I was thinking about. I just spoke. Connectedness, you know, the way we're connected to whatever we believe, and your way to be connected and then to feel even in the darkest times that there's not only hope, there's a kind of a secret magical comfort even in the worst zone, isn't there, you know? Sue?
Yeah, you know, when I think about, you know, higher power and God, you know, and I always say this, so if you're new on the radio and you don't know what we're talking about here, me and Kim are talking about our experience of being recovering addicts, right? So, you know, and I always say this, you know, I go into the rooms of recovery, and I came into the rooms of recovery broken, sick, hopeless, helpless, couldn't stop using. My life was a mess. The things around me were a mess. I felt like crap inside, and I just wasn't living the way that I knew I should have been living. And you know, I always say when I'm in the rooms of recovery today, to this day, that I didn't come here for God. I didn't come here to have a relationship with God. I came here because I couldn't stop using. I didn't want anything else. I just wanted to stop using, you know. But it was out of my gift of desperation. I love my desperation, because out of that, I became a little bit willing to believe in some kind of concept that these people were talking about, that were sitting across from the table from me, that were well, that were healthy, that didn't have track marks on their arms, and they were living a new way of life, right? So I wanted that. That was the basic for me in the very, very beginning, you know. It says very, very plainly too that we can use this power long before we understand it. And, you know, step two is about coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves. We don't have to do anything. We just have to be willing to believe. We don't have to believe. It's not telling you believe in a, it doesn't say believe in a power greater than yourself. It says be willing. And the willingness is the key. And it's about cracking that door open, right? And we can use this power long before we understand it. In the very beginning, I had a really, really good friend of mine. He's passed away now. Think about him all the time. But, you know, in the old days, they would tell you, throw your socks underneath the bed. And this is people in recovery, right? And get on your knees and pray and ask God to help you stay clean and sober. Now, I had a punishing God, too. I didn't. I had threw my old concepts out the window about what God was. And I really didn't know. But I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, please help me stay clean and sober. And that day I ended up going to a meeting. And I when I retired at nighttime, I realized, oh, my goodness, I didn't use today. I didn't think of using. To me, that was a miracle. So I started building on that. And that's how I came to believe. My concept today is totally different than what it used to be. But it's, you know, and it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of people really get hung up on that God thing. They get, you know, bail. They get out of the program. They don't want nothing to do with it. My relationship with God, and I believe in God in the biblical sense, allows me to allow you to have whatever your concept is. I don't have to force what I believe in.
Very important.
I can allow you to believe whatever. And whatever's real. The bottom line is it better be powerful, right? And I better use it, period. That's all that's required. It better be more powerful than me, more powerful than my dope. And I better continue to tap into it and turn my life over. And that's which was step three once you make you know. So that's it for me.
Great, great, great. Good explanation, both of you. And conception, you know, that's what this is all about, conceiving that there could be, would be, maybe, you know what I mean? Cause especially hope. For people who, you know, and that's a good point, because hope is the beginning, and I find, especially in the jail ministry, that hope is the real focus. If you can put some hope in some of these people in these circumstances, the rest will happen. And whatever you do to bring that hope and... we bring ourselves, let's face it, we as you said, we can't really conceive of God. It's too far beyond. And, you know, if it's not an almighty kind of source, then it's nothing. So, I mean, there's a, it's a big avenue there going from, you know, yeah, I got a problem to, you know, something that's almighty and that I'm going to turn everything over to is a pretty big concept. And it's a pretty big move, you know. So, I mean, a lot of it, I think, is done. Let's get the stuff, let's get the steps done so that we can get connected. And then let's come back and learn what they mean, you know, and really move on through them, you know. So,
you want to go? Go ahead.
Well, we're both excited here. So, you said something, it's a really big move.
Yeah.
There's one of the wonderful things about alcoholism or addiction is that it will beat us into a state of reasonableness.
That's right,
so that I am willing when I can't take it anymore and I see that other people are doing okay because they let go of some old thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try it. I'll do anything at this point, right?
Yeah.
And I love that line in our beautiful book, right? What seems at first a flimsy reed turns into the powerful and loving hand of God or higher power.
Yeah.
It's fantastic,
beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
Shoot, quick, and then we're going to take a break.
I was just going to say, too, for me, when I first came around the rooms, if somebody was clean and sober and sitting before me and wasn't using, that was just a miracle. That was a powerful miracle.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing, but I wanted to find out what they were doing. And I went around to a lot of people, and I got a lot of different concepts. And I kind of borrowed. Right?
Sure.
I like what you got. I like that little piece that you got. I like what you got. My God had to be really forgiving because I really made a mess of things, right? This higher power. And he had to be really funny because I was a mess, right? And, you know, I was continuing to make some mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So those were some really basic concepts, but I got those from people. Yeah. I asked them, what do you believe in? And what does it look like for you? And there were some simple concepts that I took from people. Yeah. And then I started to build on that. And I started to believe in what they told me about their higher power.
Yeah.
My faith started to grow based on what they, it was working for them, and then I started to try it, and it started working for me.
It's one thing in 12-step, literally millions have gone before us. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's everything to me. Like, and I can say it in any given, just in the two major fellowships in the 12-step realm of addiction, if you want, there's over 5 million people every day
gonna find something
who are sober.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And just to say that, and to know that if there's 5 million sober, there's 20 million who are feeling a lot better because they're sober. I mean, you've hit a big chunk of people right there and then.
Good variety.
If you expand that out to bring in all the other problems and the mental illnesses and the gambling and et cetera and eating and blah, 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 you've got, you know, a fifth of the world in no time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's no surprise that the drug world is so powerful and that it can take out, in a dramatic figure, a couple of weeks ago, 57 million people could have died from the bust uncovered in New York City a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody took that white powder and put it into the food sources or into the building ventilation systems, you know, the big tall buildings, into schools and hospitals, what could that do? You know, you think you're only worried about the needles. You wait, buddy. And then you mix it with carfentanil, and I'll tell you got a story that is way beyond what anybody's ever even imagined. And we've got to get that stuff out there. So anyway, why did we come to 12-step and so on? Well, I came for one reason. It was, I didn't know this at the time, but I came to believe. I came so that I would really believe. I didn't get it, but I came, you know, some people say in some of the fellowships, I came to, and then I came to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think if there were a point looking backward, I would say I came for one reason. I came to believe. You know what I mean? I came to learn to believe. So that was, that hit me like a ton of bricks last year. I thought, you know, that's
the basic foundation of the 12-step is we suffer from a spiritual malady, right?
Yeah.
We are spiritually broken. We're trying to fill, what do you think addiction is? We're trying to fill that hole, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to replace it. You take away, you know, I drank and drug because I drank for the effect. It made me feel good.
Yeah.
If I could drink and drug today and not have those consequences, I'd probably still be doing it. But it's a soul sickness, right?
Yeah.
And that, I think everybody suffers from a soul sickness. Not, I mean, I'm an addict, and so my vice was drugs and alcohol for me. But, you know, you look at people that are out in society, we're in a hurting society. They have a lot of hurting burdens that they're carrying around, and they just don't know how to fill that. And they're searching, whether it's through materialism, they search through all kinds of external forces to try to fill up that hole. And that can never be filled until we find something outside of ourselves, right? Yeah.
To comment on that, I love what you said, Susan. To comment on that, that's we're actually, I don't know, this is my own thing, but I'm actually really grateful that I became an addict to drugs and alcohol, because at least there was something that brought me to my knees and caused me to seek help. As you said, there's tons of people walking around with a spiritual malady that have not used drugs and alcohol to fill the void, and they may never, ever get relief. They may never get relief.
And they don't even know they have that thing.
We're really blessed.
No, they don't even know. They're oblivious to it, right?
They have no idea. That's right.
That's just ours is obvious, right? You know, you see people who, you know, get as, I don't know about Kim, I can only speak for myself, but I know your story too. So to go to where we've gone in our addiction and to come out of that, you know, that those are scars on our body and our soul and our mind, but we're not there today. Mm-hmm. But to the rest of the world, it's obvious because if they looked at our past life, they'd go, oh, geez, they need some help, those girls. Yeah. But here they are walking around with their own sickness within, right?
Yeah, but you can live with your scars and be proud of them. Oh, you know what I mean? Because empowered,
And
it's incredible. So anyway, with miracles and all that's going on in this phenomenal 12-step, we're going to have to get Jay over there to pay some bills for this radio station. And Jay, you want to handle that for us?
All right, that sounds good, Scott. And if you're listening to this on Tuesday, there's a winter storm out there. So we got Bob to tell us what's going on with the weather. And we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.